start with the meeting, the only change that was made, oh yes, we should do the roll call. Glenn, could you do a roll call, please?
Philip Shepard. Mike Rodenbach. I have been informed, Avery and Chuck, that Bilal Barem has resigned from the business constituency and that they are in election mode at the moment to fill his position.
Okay, thank you.
Utedeka? Pardon?
Never mind. Please go on with the roll call.
Utedeka? Christina Rosette?
Present.
Cheryl Chua. Tony Holmes. Tony Harris. Greg Ruth.
Here.
Robin Gross.
Present.
Norbert Klein is absent. He is still on his way to recovering. He thought he would be well enough to take part, but he is not yet. Carlos Souza. Carlos is in Japan, so I think he might not be able to join us. Hey, Adrian Kinderis? Tim Ruiz?
Here.
Tom Keller?
I'm on.
Jordy is absent. He's on holiday. He's excused. Chuck Gomes?
Here.
Edmund Chan? Yon Bing?
Present.
Avery Doria?
Yes.
Olga Cavelli?
Present.
Alan Greenberg?
Present.
Rita Roden?
Hi.
And for staff, we have Kurt Pritz, Denise Michel, Rob Hogarth, Olaf Nordling, Liz Gaster, Craig Schwartz, Marika, not yet, Patrick Jones, and Penelope Wren. Have I left off anybody?
Okay, thank you. Actually, with and perhaps I don't know if we have anybody from the council's office on the call. I don't remember the name being listed.
No.
With one person less actually seated at the council, I'm not sure whether we actually do have a quorum or not with one vote less. So we're 26 total, as opposed to 27 having had a resignation. But I would need a council's office interpretation on that. Okay. In terms of the agenda, the only change made to it was an update of the new GTLD implementation was added to the agenda. Other than that, the agenda is as it was originally published, I believe. Does anyone else see any changes or recommendations to things that we should change? Okay. I noticed that I skipped the part where I asked, does anybody have an update of their statement of interest that they want to mention at this point? Okay. I would remind us all that should we need to do that, we can do that at any time by sending it to Glenn and to the list and then bringing it up at the next meeting. Okay, the next item on the agenda was to approve the GNSO Council minutes of 17 July, but since we do not have quorum, I'll move that to the end, and if we do get someone else to join, then I'll bring that up again at the end of the meeting. Okay, the next item is update from Denise Michel on board activities. Now, one change that we're making in that is that anything that relates to another item on the agenda, we've asked Denise to sort of hold the update on that item until we get to that agenda item so that we don't end up repeating conversations and basically mixing up the order of things while we're doing the Q&A. So, Denise, please.
Thank you, Apple. The preliminary report of the July 31st board meeting is posted on the website. I'll run through the highlights quickly, and a fuller report can be accessed on the website. the board considered the GNSO working group's proposal on council restructuring. And
right,
that's an agenda.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm sorry, Aubrey?
No, I was just going to remind you that that was one of the agenda items, but you got there before I opened my mouth.
So there was a lengthy discussion regarding that proposal, and I'll go through that when the agenda item comes up. The board passed the ASO proposal for the global policy for autonomous system numbers that had been posted for public comment. They received an update from CURT on new GTLD's implementation. He'll be providing you with the same update today. They also received an update on the registry agreement for .arrow and .post. And Kurt noted that ICANN is negotiating with CETA for the renewal of .arrow's STLD agreement and with the Universal Postal Union for the .post agreement. They received an informational update on single letter, second level registry service requests. Again, an update from Kurt, in which he noted that the registry requests from .coop and .mobi have been processed through the RCEP process. They also briefly received an update from Teresa regarding a UN letter on enhanced cooperation on public policy issues relating to the Internet. They approved appointment of Professor Jan Buntrad as the research and academia candidate to the nominating committee for this year. And under other business, they briefly solicitation of public comment for the present strategy committee. And then they went into executive session. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Is there a queue for questions?
Chuck.
Chuck, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
Just more of a logistical matter, Denise, but it sure would be nice if the preliminary report had headings in it by following the agenda rather than just a continuous narrative. I'm glad that you broke it down that way. So just a comment that you can pass on.
Sure, be happy to.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments at this point? Okay, thank you very much, Denise. Okay, moving on to item 5, which is the various status updates. The first one is from Mike Rodenbaugh on the FastLux PDP working group that I understood has begun.
Yep, it has. I think we've had at this point 4 or 5 phone calls. It has been a very, very active mail list. We've been really focusing on brainstorming so far, just sort of doing out preliminary responses and factual information in response to various questions that's put before the group. Chair is doing an admirable job of trying to wade through all the information and opinion that's been sent through the list, and we're starting to put some structure around it now. So I think things are good. I guess like any good working group, there certainly has been some passionate debate going on. A lot of good factual information. So I think the group is on track.
Okay.
Specific questions.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to take a queue for questions, but I wanted to ask, so you also believe it's on track in terms of its schedule? I'm hearing an awful echo all of a sudden.
Okay, I'm not hearing any echo, so I hope it's not on my end. I do think the group is on track at this point, yes.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Mike? Okay, thank you, Mike. Next one is the Who Is I Hypotheses group update.
Yeah, we are getting close. We have developed hypotheses for all for 7 out of the 8 areas. The one we're still working on are the are 4 of the DAC suggested areas of study. We expect to wrap that up in our meeting next week, and then send out the hypotheses first of all to the proposers of the studies, and give them about a week turnaround time to provide any comments. That will then require probably one more meeting to review those comments. So I would predict we can finish by the end of August and before our September 4th council meeting.
Okay, thanks. Any questions?
Just one more thing, Aubrey. I suppose we need an extension then to that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
To that time.
So you need an extension until when?
Until the end of August. I actually think we'll probably wrap it up on the 26th, but it wouldn't hurt to have a few more days there.
Okay. Is there anyone that has an objection to this extension?
In fact, why don't we make it the 28th of August? I think that puts it a week before our meeting in September.
Okay, that would be good. Okay, so I will note. So I hear no one objecting? Fantastic. Okay, so that's marked as extended. And that will be the final report from the working group?
That's the plan.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yeah, the only one I'm hearing echoed is me.
No, it's me.
Okay. So any other comments? Questions? Okay. Then moving on to the next item is the IRTP denial reasons PDP. The comment period has ended, so we're at a point now where I guess we need to get a update, although I think we already received that on email. And then we will probably be at a point where we need to figure out what we're doing next. Olaf, or was it Marika was going to comment on this?
This is Olaf. I'll comment on it.
Okay, thank you.
Comment period ended on the 18th of July. We harvested one single comment, from the IPC, sent by the chair of the IPC, restating many of the proposals that IPC had put forward. It should be noted, that those proposals, which were very, very clear tech proposals, were considered by the drafting group, and in one case, ending of denial reason 9, the actual phrasing came straight from the IPC proposal. But for the rest, the other details in the proposal didn't get any traction in the drafting group. And as Tim Ruiz explained also in a mail exchange on the council list, the reason for that was basically that it was seen as going further than merely clarifying the provisions that we have today. So much in the same spirit as for denial reasons 5 and 7, which were deferred to other PDP, for the same reason that it was actually going further than a mere clarification. So, well, I hope that would do as a summary of what has happened in the public comments, and of course, questions are welcome.
Okay, I have a first clarification question, which is that to say that there's now only one clarification that we're needing to decide on?
No, it's two.
It's still two. Okay. That's what I had thought, but then I misunderstood what you were saying. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? At the moment, I have jotted this down as something to be discussed and, you know, a decision hopefully taken at the next meeting. We will obviously need some motions before that time to decide whether we're going to accept the recommendations that are written in there, or if not, how we want to proceed. Does anyone wish to comment on that at this point, or on the substance? Okay, then I'd like to ask people to sort of work within their constituencies to see where they are in terms of voting on the approval or not of the recommendations made for the classifications on the two reasons.
And
any other discussion? Yes, sir.
Aubrey, just to suggest that Olaf send a message out, appropriate length and so forth, just as a reminder to all of the council members to get that to their constituencies right away.
I'd be happy to do so.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay. In which case, the next one is the IRTP PDP June 08. And this is really the one that deserves the comment. I understand that one has begun now.
Correct. It's our first call was a couple of days ago. We did select a chair. It's Paul Diaz from the Registrar constituency. So we could probably take a voice vote on that unless anyone has any questions or objections.
Okay. Does anyone object to the selection of Paul Diaz as chair of this group? And I hear, since we have all constituencies represented, if no one has any objection, then I think we can confirm that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Have you started the work and coming up with an internal schedule on the group yet, or was it just basically the first set of discussion?
Well, we did. We do have weekly calls set for Tuesday mornings at 7 a.m. California time. And we did start talking about three questions before the working group in our call, just started getting sort of some preliminary thoughts out on the table. We're all going to go back to our constituencies this week and try to flesh that out a little bit. But, yeah, it seems like we're off on the right foot. One thing that we really do need still, however, despite, as I understand it, a couple of requests from Glenn, we still do not have delegates from the a couple of constituencies, from the ISPs or from the non-commercial users. So it would be really useful to get at least one representative from those groups on the working group if possible.
Okay, thank you. Any comment, questions? Okay, so I'd like to encourage those constituencies to find a volunteer. Okay, moving on to reserve names update, and I have Liz down as updating that.
Yes, thank you, Aubrey. As you know, ICANN has completed the comment period on the single character second level domain allocation framework document. The board has also been given an update on the last meeting on the 31st of July on the status of the pending registry services proposals to allocate single character second level names. The proposed contract changes for .coop and .mobi to allocate via an RFP process that have been posted for public comment. The comment periods close on the 22nd of August, and we expect these proposals to be considered by the board shortly thereafter, most likely during their August board meeting. And there's nothing new to report at this time on any other funnel requests.
But one question there, and this is not as vice chair, this is as an employee of VeriSign. Was, and this is a question for Denise or Liz, was the board made aware of the fact that VeriSign submitted a final request in that regard?
Yes, and the board is aware of that. That was noted in the July 31st meeting, and Kurt Chris clarified the status of that proposal and noted that when it was ready, it was publicly posted, as is the process.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments at this time? Okay, then. Liz, I have you down next for absentee voting update. Let us know what's happening with that proposal.
Sure. Actually, we've had a slight delay due to personal circumstances of Dan. We're looking to update the bylaws to memorialize that change and then just implement a methodology that Glenn has kindly developed. We'll be sharing that with you as soon as we can loop back with the legal team and just confirm that they're comfortable with that approach. So apologize for the delay.
Okay,
but
thanks. Can you give me an idea of what the schedule is when you expect that the bylaw change will be presented to the board? I know the board getting it on their schedule and voting on it is indeterminable, but in terms of what the plan is of the staff to when that is targeted for?
I don't want to commit for Dan, but I'm hoping it's real soon.
Real soon. Okay, thanks.
Sorry.
Now, that's always been one of my favorite dates, you know, real soon now. So, okay, thanks. I'll keep that on the agenda for the next meeting so we can go on an update, and I hope whatever personal issues are keeping Dan from being able to do this are benign. And if not, hopefully they're good soon. Okay. Any questions or comment on that? Okay, the next one I have is we had continued the issue of the AGP implementation update on for this week again, and I have Craig down as giving us an update on where that is at this point.
Sure. What I can tell you is that a cross-functional team of folks within ICANN from registry, registrar, liaison, compliance, legal, finance, and policy have either met in part or in whole a couple of times to develop the implementation plan for this new consensus policy. And it is expected that the draft implementation plan will be posted for public comment prior to the ICANN meeting in Cairo.
Okay.
That's where we are today.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments?
This is Christina. I have a question.
Okay, thank you. Christina?
Sorry about that. Craig, do you have a sense now? There's several months between now and the Cairo meeting. Do you expect it's going to be sooner rather than later, or are you not in a position to say it?
Good morning, Tony Harris, Jenny.
Yeah, I'd say I'm not in a position to say. I'd like to say that it would be sooner rather than later.
The other question I would have is that assuming that it goes out for public comment, which is say the week before the Cairo meeting, kind of going through the public comment period and then what has to happen, assuming there are no significant hiccups along the way, if you're using that public comment posting date as the start date, has there been a calculation as to when we'd actually see implementation?
I think it will depend on each registry. I think that we'd like to see implementation as soon as possible, but that understanding that each registry operator's system is architected a bit differently, it may take some time to make internal changes that they need to with regard to programming in order to track the kind of information and produce the kind of reports that need to be produced in support of the policy. So I think right now we have a placeholder that implementation would occur within 90 to 120 days of the approval of the plan, but it's really just a placeholder right now.
That I guess I should have been clear. What I was looking for was trying to figure out the date by which the ICANN processes in terms of public comment and the procedural aspects of it, when that would be completed, assuming that it goes out for public comment on the week before the Cairo meeting.
I'm sorry, Christina, can you repeat that?
Well, what I'm trying to, I realize that, and I should have been clear in my question, that I realize that there will be individual technical adjustments and other changes that will need to be made. I was trying to figure out, from the purposes of what is required under the ICANN processes in terms of the policy and the implementation, if it goes out for public comment for X period and then there has to be this period that's this long and so on and so forth, I was trying to figure out when that whole process would come to an end.
I would personally like to see it happen before the end of the year.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Would anyone else like to question or comment?
Mike Rosenberg.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Craig. Do you have any further factual information like you presented to us in our last meeting? Preliminary factual info from any of the registries?
Well, the only registry that has implemented the AGP modification as of yet is NuStar, and I think we shared with you in July their numbers from, or their results from June. Their July numbers aren't due until August 20th, so we're kind of we're in an in-between stage of reporting periods, so I don't have new information from them to share. And as of late last week, Afilias has not yet implemented its AGP modification service.
Okay. All right, so we'll probably have some more information in our next meeting in early September, it sounds like, at least from .biz.
That sounds right.
All right, thanks.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else have another question? Okay, thank you, Greg.
This is
Tim. Sorry. Oh, Tim, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry, I moved too quickly.
It's okay. I'm a little slow this morning, so I'm not quite sure I completely understood or caught everything that Doug was saying. But what I'm assuming then is that right now it's just giving the registries time to respond with how long they estimate it's going to take to implement, and then after that there will finally be a deadline set by which time that has to be completed. Is that the intent?
Craig, I think this is for you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Can you ask that one more time? I had a little difficulty hearing you.
That if the intent is to give registries time to respond with what they consider to be a reasonable time frame to implement, and then at that point, a deadline would be set at the time all registries to comply. Is that the intent?
Well, the intent is to post the implementation plan and then to set a period of time for registries to come into compliance with the new consensus policy. I'm not sure we're actually waiting for them to give us feedback on how long it's going to take, but for us to set up, I think, what's a reasonable amount of time for the registries to implement the policy. And I could be wrong on that, but that's a detail we still need to work out.
All right, thanks.
Okay, sure. Anyone else? Okay, thank you, Craig.
Sure.
Next item I had is an update on the geographic regions. I've got Rob down for commenting on that. I see that we have started putting together the group that will basically craft the response that we will have to decide on before the, I guess it's one of my questions, whether we need to decide on it before the Cairo meeting or during the Cairo meeting, in that some of the other groups are not going to react to it until Cairo. So, Rob?
Yes, thanks, Avi. Good morning. You'll all recall that the group volunteers who came forward on the last council call were Olga and Chuck. Since then, the group has been joined by five other participants: Ken Stubbs from the registry constituency, Tim Ruiz from the registrar constituency, Philip Shepherd from the business constituency, Christina Rosette from the IPC, and Tony Harris from the ISPCC. That group is scheduled to conduct its first call next Monday, August 11th. They've already begun some dialogue via the email list. And I'll let Olga or Glenn fill in anything that I may have missed.
Okay, thank you. Olga, do you have anything to add?
No, thank you, Rob. Thank you, Avery. We have been exchanging some ideas on the list, and we have our first call on Monday morning, this morning for me. Rob has been so kind to send us all the background information that I knew it from before, from some work that I had done previously in the GAC. So, which I would like to know is, which is our deadline? Is before Cairo, during Cairo? Could someone, perhaps Avery or Rob, could clarify this for us?
Yeah, and at the moment I'm trying to get that clarified. In other words, certainly I think if you're ready before Cairo, there's no harm in having it done. I just understand that from the other groups that are being approached, including the GAC, it's unlikely that there'll be a response before the end of Cairo. So if we have something that we're ready to discuss in Cairo, that's good. If we want to decide before then, I think that our absolute deadline is coming out of Cairo to have our response. I think if we can do it beforehand, that's our choice. Does that sound reasonable to others?
Yeah. Avery, from my impression about the exchange of ideas in the list, I think that we kindly agree in most everything, but you never know. Maybe we have some points that we have to discuss further. But I think it's reasonable thinking of for Cairo having a response set up.
Okay, thanks. And obviously for the group to consider it, it needs to have time to be reviewed and discussed in the constituencies before we can actually vote to approve the note, so leaving plenty of lead time. So if once you guys have your first meeting, you can develop a schedule that we can start planning against, that would be great.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody have any comments or questions for either Rob or Olga or anyone? Okay, thank you. And the final update item I have, we have quite a few, was update on the new GTLD implementation, and I understand that this will be a replay of our update that was given to the board.
Hi, Aubrey, this is Kurt.
Hi, Kurt.
Hi. Essentially, that's the case. So since the Paris meeting where the board adopted the GNSO policy recommendation, the implementation efforts have focused on items that are on the critical path of the schedule, and that is to conclude agreements with service providers and to complete the design and the development of certain processes. So in each case, we are approaching agreement with service providers and finishing the design of dispute resolution mechanisms, evaluation procedures, and the TLD application infrastructure, the interface.
Okay, thank you. Please go on.
Thank you. So I'll provide a little more detail into each of these later. There's also drafting of several documents underway. The RFP is being drafted in a modular format that I think was publicized while we were at the Paris meeting. So the various documents that have been created along this, the policy creation and implementation are now being reformatted into that modular format. As late as yesterday, we reviewed the next edition of the base contract that will be published as part of the RFP, and also reviewed applicant terms and conditions that will be published as part of the solicitation process. So more specifically, work since Paris has included work on string criteria, how the string will be measured, and also applicant criteria, how the applicant will be measured in the evaluation process. So, for example, company Sword delivered a beta version of the string confusion algorithm in three scripts, Latin, Cyrillic, and Greek, for evaluation. So the cursory evaluation by staff during 3 days' worth of meetings was extremely positive, and staff is putting together a test plan that will involve participation by those outside ICANN staff to develop some empirical results to tell us that the algorithm in these three scripts is responding as one would expect. We're also going to receive a proposal from SWORD on the time and expense associated with developing an algorithm in three other scripts, Arabic, the CJK script, and Devanagari. So that's the report on that. Deloitte delivered and reviewed a draft of applicant questions and criteria for business criteria, so for the policy recommendation that the applicant demonstrate competence both operationally and also technically. So staff is reviewing the last version of that and making some weeks to that, so that season is as late as we reviewed a more final version of the applicant criteria yesterday and have another meeting with Deloitte right after that. We're engaging with Gilbert Sobin to review the criteria and scoring methodology, so to ensure there hasn't been some sort of group thing going on here, we have an independent eye to take a look at it, especially with regard to complying with our meeting GNSO policy recommendations and the expectations there. And then finally, with regard to measuring the string and the applicant, since Paris, we've concluded an agreement with a company named Software System Services International to write the customer application interface. So that's a U.S. firm, but they spent a lot of time in the ICANN offices, so thought that was applicable. With regard to string contention and dispute resolution processes, we had developed through outside counsel a set of procedures for governing how the dispute resolution processes would take place. We sent them to candidate dispute resolution providers and have received back their versions of procedures that we are working to combine into one set of procedures. So we received back a set of procedures from several of the dispute resolution providers. We have also agreed on the form of agreement we'll sign with these dispute resolution providers. So now armed with the approval of the board on the recommendation, we're able to move forward and conclude agreements with the two resolution providers, although no agreements have been signed yet. We're moving very close towards that, so that's why I've named in this presentation. Power Auctions, the company we retained to design an auction, delivered a draft model auction that we're iterating, and we're going to publish for public comment. As soon as that's done, we'll probably publish that, you know, for public information prior to publish the RFP. Different significant pieces of information become available. We'll publish that. And as a corollary to that, as information becomes available, we'll post it to the ICANN website. So we think in the next day or two, we'll publish what would be, say, a monthly update of new developments on the DTLD webpage. One of those items will include a description of auctions and the benefits and possible detriments or possible benefits or detriments of various auction models. So a sort of a white paper on auction models will be published. So the critical next steps that have to take place so we can publish the draft RFP is to conclude work on the set of dispute resolution standards There's some iteration on those with the board, and you know, those will be published as part of the draft RFP that will be posted for public comment. So at that time, there'll be another opportunity for public comment and possible iteration of those standards. The model for resolution of string contention. So if there are competing strings other than auction, there's a comparative evaluation model that where we have to finish work with a solution provider and then publish that. And then finally, the string confusion determination, so the constitution of essentially the panel of examiners that will examine strings for confusing similarity after they receive an auction score that might inform their decision. And the final step, if you remember the board discussion, and especially the board discussion around the back-end budget, there'll be a separate budget published for the GTLD fund that addresses the uncertainty in the number of the volume of applications, potential cash flows, and how all that would be handled, given that ICANN is constrained by its annual budget as far as spending. So work on that budget is proceeding. So that's essentially the work that's taken place in Paris, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
I'd like to get in queue, Tony Harris.
Okay, sounds like quite a bit. Okay, Tony, anybody else wish to be in the queue?
Chuck. This is Tim.
Tim, who else?
Chuck.
Anyone else?
Mike.
Okay, go ahead, Tony.
Yes, I have two short questions. The first one is, it's probably answered already by your comments about the budget and the costs of the proceedings, but is there a number yet defined which the applicant will have to come up with when he presents the application? And the second question is, as things are going now, do you foresee any further delays, or is the timeline as announced in the last ICANN meeting in Paris still effective?
The timeline announced in Paris is still effective. It's very ambitious, but we're committed to publish a draft version of an RFP in the next couple months. I think there's been quite a bit of community discussion about what the application fee might be. One thing I didn't describe as far as the work that's still going on is the risk assessment that would be applied to and determination how that might be applied to an application fee to cover risk. So I'm not really interested to set the final number now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Tim?
Yes, I was wondering, Kurt, if there was any update on the Cray International Economic Study.
Yes, there is. We're having the Paul Jimmy is involved in this. We're having a conference call with CRA. What's today? Thursday in the United States. So we're having a conference call tomorrow to discuss specific issues in preparation for a release of a draft that we expect, within 2 weeks after that. And certainly, we committed to having the paper, well before the Cairo meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Kurt, just a clarification, Aubrey. Kurt, so the draft in 2 weeks would be an internal draft within ICANN, not a public draft. Is that right?
So, there's not much that ICANN will do to, once the draft is published, we don't want to really be iterating it. So, I think it'd be very close to publication. I think there'd be a review for, private information and some redactions if we see that at risk, but not much iteration of what we get from CRA to public.
Okay,
just for clarification, what is this report about again?
It's about the structural and organizational separation between registries and registrars that has been enforced in ICANN agreement and whether that separation should be maintained in the face of apparent demand for registry then registrars to apply for a new GTLD.
Yep, got it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Chuck, had that been your question, or had you been asking a clarifying based on Tim's? Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah. Kurt, you mentioned standards for dispute resolution. Am I correct in concluding from that you're referring to the measurable criteria that the independent dispute providers would use in making their decisions?
Yes.
Okay. And that sounds like progress is being made on that. That, to me, is a really critical issue in the dispute resolution process.
Right. So you know, staff shared with the council, I think, and on several of the standards. And now that we can actually engage these dispute resolution providers in contract and understand the level of competence of the dispute resolution provider people and discretion that can apply with it. They're providing advice as to the type of standards or the clarity required in standards in order for them to be effective in their role. So this iteration with the dispute resolution providers themselves is very helpful.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Was there anyone else that had a question? I have one. In the discussion of the auction models, or is it in the budget, will there be a discussion of how funds treated from auctions will be dealt with?
It'll be in the budget.
That will be in the budget. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else have any questions? Okay, in which case, thank you, Kurt, for that report. Appreciate the level of detail and such. And moving on then. That was quite a few bits of status, but it's really quite helpful. I want to go back quickly to item 3 because we do have quorum now. We have the GNSO Council minutes from 17 July, and they were moved by Tom Keller. I don't have a second on them yet. Do I have a second on them?
I'll second them, Chuck.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Is there any discussion on those minutes before we vote on them? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor of accepting the minutes of 17 July as published, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed to accepting those minutes, please say nay. Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. The minutes have passed unanimously by voice vote. Okay, the next item on the agenda was item 6, which is discussion of the IDNC report, but especially discussion of the GNSO response. A small team did go away and worked with Edmund on refining the GNSO's response. That has been published for discussion on the GNSO list for the last week. And I guess our deadline for submitting this is in, I don't have it written down, but I think it's in the next couple days. So I'd like to basically have Edmund give us a brief recap and especially bring up any issues that changed since our previous discussions of this. And then I'd like to go for a vote, hopefully a voice vote, but we could also do a roll call vote if necessary, on basically approving this response as the GNSO response so that it can be submitted in time. Unless, of course, there's issues that we need to fix, in which case we'll need to fix them quite quickly. So, Edmund?
Okay. Sure, thanks. I guess I'll just briefly run through the report and then the highlights and the main points, and then take some questions and go from there. That works.
That's good.
Okay. So mainly, as I mentioned in the email earlier, there are three main parts of the response. The first part is really an acknowledgement of 4 points that we feel that were good points from the IDNC report, with adding a little bit of improvement. And the second part were sort of major concerns we sort of have regarding the IDNC final report. And the third part is really a reiteration of some of the points we have made previously in the in our response to the GATT issues paper. So the first part includes 4 points. The first point, all four are mainly acknowledgments that there are good points that are, you know, included in the IDNC final report. First one is the official language and meaningful string. We feel that's consistent with what we have been, I guess, the GNSO response has always been. And also acknowledging that it's good to use standard, international standard documents. But one particular point that we pointed out was that for situations where the international standards documents do not cover, in essence, IDN TLD strings that are not in the UN list, those situations are not very well documented how it's being dealt with. There is a sort of hand-waving discussion about the having internationally accepted organizations verify or confirm, but there's no not enough. I guess the improvement there is if we can better in terms of the implementation, that could be better dealt with, especially with expertise from like UNESCO, or taking into consideration the WIPO 2 discussions, which did include at that point territory names and IDNs. So that was point number one. Point number two was the request for information. Felt that that was a good way to allow the ICANN community to understand the scope of the fast track a little better, understand who wants what TLD string. One particular point of improvement is to try to make sure that the transparency of that process is better maintained so that the ICANN community can actually see what information is being gained from an RFI, the request for information from CCTLDs who intend to participate in the fast track.
Mm-hmm.
The third point was the ongoing process. We feel that it is fine to have an ongoing process. I think originally everyone thought that fast track was one go, everyone apply and then that was one go, but the fast track mechanism proposed is an ongoing process until the CCPDP is ready. I think the point made in this point is that it is okay. It is somewhat consistent with the IDNC charter that says that these IDN TLDs will be introduced before while the overall policy is developed. The main point here of improvement is that we feel that even if it is going to be ongoing, there should be, especially in terms of the actual introduction of the IDN CCTLDs, they should be introduced sort of in rounds or in predictable time schedules so that the community, including the technical community and the intellectual property rights community, can take notice of it and attend to the introduction and, you know, give their comments or be prepared for it. That was third point. Fourth point was the acknowledgement that it's good that the final report did say that the technical standards need to be in place. The revision of the IDNA standards should be in place before the introduction of IDN CCTLDs. And the slight addition there is that there recently actually has been some discussion from the technical community that one of the standards, ITS standard number 3 actually, actually specifies some points that need to be updated if IDN TLDs are to be introduced. So that should also be updated before IDN TLDs are introduced. So those are the four main points that we pointed out in terms of generally good starting point, but there are some a little bit of room for improvement and caution, especially for staff as they work on the implementation. Then the second part includes 3 points, point A, B, and C. They're somewhat interrelated. Point A was that the main issue, I think we've talked about it many times, that the non-contentious only within the corresponding territory part. The current IDNC report says that non-contentious is only within the territory, whereas the IDNC charter actually just had non-contentious generally. We feel that it is the process is a significant departure from the current CCTLD practice, because current CCTLD practice actually utilizes the ISO 3166 list, and the 3166 list is not unilaterally proposed by the territory and non-contentious within the territory, but rather is a collaborative effort internationally to end up with a particular string. So the current fast-track process is actually a significant departure from current CCTLD practice, and therefore we feel that the implementation of which needs to take this into consideration, and ongoing public review should accompany this significant departure process. That's point A. Point B was the somewhat related in terms of the non-contentiousness, that there in the final report there really hasn't been any discussion about the process for determining the non-contentiousness part, and that we feel does expose ICANN to challenges from really around the world, and that some sort of dispute mechanism or comment mechanism needs to be in the implementation of the fast-track process. So that's point number B. And point C is the lack of mechanism to enforce compliance. That really is the contract issue. So right now it's lacking really any discussion about whether there should or should not, or how a relationship with ICANN could be established so that the IDNA standards, the IDN guidelines, and also the point that was raised earlier about when they move from fast track to the CCPDP process, to enforce that and enforce the transition and migration. So these 3 points are not covered at all in the final report, the lack of mechanism to enforce TCEP compliances. So those are the 3 points that we pointed out as significant concerns that we have. And then out of the, I think, 15 to 18 points that we had in the third part, which is some reiteration of the our earlier comments on the response to the GAC issues report, I picked out 4 of which. Others are generally covered by the points before, or is essentially consistent with the fast track proposal, so I didn't reiterate. But the 4 points were the first one, that basically GTLDs and CCTLDs should be introduced as soon as practicable and technical requirements are successfully reviewed and completed. The second point is related to that in some way, that neither GTLDs or CCTLDs should be delayed because of lack of readiness of the other, which also reversely means that neither one should go ahead of the other in a sense, unless, especially taking into consideration that neither category should be advantaged or disadvantaged. This wording is taken directly from the previous report. And then the third and fourth is confusingly similar strings should be voided, and consideration for risk of spoofing using IDN homoglyphs should be taken into consideration. And then we also added a paragraph, and I highlighted that one, that we should at least need everyone to have some agreement to, which is a revision to our earlier response to the gas issues report. And that is, we originally had a sentence there which said there should be only one IDN ccTLD string per ISO 3166 entry per relevant script. And that statement was strongly objected to, or actually I should say the GAC representative of India strongly raised some strong issues against that in Paris. And we suggest making some adjustment there, which is not entirely, completely out of line. I think what we have suggested adjusting is to add per relevant language at the end of which would ultimately read as follows. There should be only one IDN ccTLD string per ISO 3166-1 entry per relevant script per relevant language. That solves the issue with India and potentially some other countries where one single script is used in multiple official languages within the country. So, but this would be a revision, we specifically mentioned as a revision of our earlier comments. So, these were the three main parts, and I think highlighted most of what they're talking about.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. So I'd like to open the queue.
This is Tim. I'd like in the queue.
Mike.
Okay, Tim. Anyone else?
Mike.
Mike, Robin. Anyone else?
Robin.
Robin, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Tim.
I do two questions. One, I want to apologize, Edmund. I was supposed to be in this little drafting group, and then I ended up with conflicts, wasn't able to participate. But just two questions. Is there any, what would be the difference or what effect would it have if that the language that you just said had changed just said per relevant language? How is per relevant script or language different from just per relevant language?
There would be a situation where the reason there could be a reverse situation where one language is written in multiple scripts and they might want to use it. But.
Well, that's why I was asking, because I think that is the case, at least in a few that I'm aware. And, you know, is that really our intent, that we're broadening it that much? That because we're considering the fact there could be, you know, lots of these CCD. This is for the fast track, correct?
Right. This response will be specifically on the fast track, but we could say that this adjustment is specifically for the fast track. We could do that, but currently, as it is worded, it sort of revises our earlier statement for the general response to the DAC issues paper.
I should point out.
But I guess what I'm saying is that if you're going to, and if we're going to say per script per language, then I mean we're really talking about an overall statement about the IDN CTLD in general, and that in the fast track there really isn't any need to limit it. Because if you say relevant script per script per language, then that basically opens it up for just about every. No, I don't know what else would be left, right?
Actually, isn't that still fairly narrow because it's relevant script per relevant language.
Yeah, that's what I would think. I would think this is more restrictive than just saying per relevant language. Am I wrong on that?
Well, it depends on how you interpret the word relevant, and I guess we have chosen that word quite carefully originally, and the relevance was defined, in this situation, the relevance is defined based on the final report of the meaningful string and the official language.
I think I don't see it as limited because, for example, you know, like in Montenegrin, for example, you know, it can be written in two different scripts. So the way I read this, there could be two fast-track IDNs in Montenegrin, one in each script.
That is correct.
So it isn't
India's request.
So one language could have multiple IDNs under this. Under this statement is what I'm trying to point out.
One language could have multiple? No, I think it's one script could have multiple.
But not the way this is worded, though.
But, Tim, couldn't that happen under the previous wording? I mean, if they use two different scripts, they could have two. So whether the relevant language is added or not, that would have been the case. So this doesn't expand it any. In the example you cited.
Right. I'm not saying that what we had previously was necessarily the best either. But if the concern is that that languages can be covered, then you know it would seem to say entry per language would really cover that. Not necessarily saying that we agree that a single language should have multiple fast track IDNs. I mean, if that's the general feeling of the council, then great. But I personally would like to see us try to just, you know, have a reasonable limit. So the huge objection because of multiple languages in a single country, when per language seems to cover that, per script per language then begins to allow multiple IDNs on the fast track for a single language. And is that really necessary for the fast track?
Just a quick response. Tim, if you mentioned if we only use language versus per script per language, per script per language actually narrows it more. For example, if you can consider Latin script is used in many languages, then in this case, it does to a certain degree limit it versus just the per language. And I understand what you're saying in the sense that it is somewhat open, but I guess this part was in a response to a very strong comment from the Indian delegate. I could say that originally I didn't have this part in, but I guess I'll leave it back to Avery, which thinks that, and I actually agree now that we should have it, but Avery probably has a better, you know, description of why we feel strongly that we should say something about this.
Well, first of all, Evan, the statement you made, I don't think is correct. I mean, you said that, you know, in a Latin script, there could only be one Latin script IDN in a particular country. If that's what you're implying, that's not what this says. What this says is that for every language that uses a Latin script, there could be an IDN in that country. So, for example, if all 22 languages in India use both a Latin script as well as some other script, then every one of those languages could have two IDNs, according to what we're saying here.
I guess we're saying the same thing. If we say language, or whether we say per script per language, it really makes no big difference. Ultimately.
It does.
Because
there are multiple languages that use more than one script. So we're going both ways here. And I just want to make sure everyone's aware that we're going both ways. Now, just saying per language, you're saying per script per language, which means there could be multiple IDNs per language.
Yes, no, that's true.
Yeah. It's actually probably a reasonable change. I just wanted to respond
to what Edmund had said, the request from India had been that we drop any limitations at all. And obviously we haven't decided to do that. I think that the way this was written, it was intended to be limiting, but I see how Tim's reading of it actually allows it to be expanding. And while language is not usually the term of reference used, it's always been scripts, I think this might be a good recommended change, but other people should comment on it.
Would a fix like this work on that to deal with Tim's concern? What if we were to put the per relevant language in parentheses and add to it per relevant language in cases where there are multiple languages for a given script? Which is the
where multiple languages use a relevant script. Does that help? Right.
Yeah, I think probably just adding per relevant language of a script or something. Adding a few words at the end of it should correct that issue.
How about changing relevant to official language?
My recollection is many countries don't have official languages, even though they use those languages widely.
Yep,
that's probably going to get back into issues with those that we're addressing to begin with.
I think Chuck's suggestion is quite, it should correct the issue. I mean, Tim, what do you think in terms of, I guess, qualifying that language? When we say per language, it is per language of that particular script.
And of that country.
Right. So it doesn't go the other way. Because right now, I understand what you're saying, that it actually goes both ways. But if we qualify the per relevant language with the script being the first filter, then I think we should be...
What I'd recommend we do, we keep going through, I mean, I've got still Mike and Robin on this list, that obviously if we approve this, it will be, we'll have to go through a day's looking at the language on the list, and basically it goes through it that way. But I think it sounds like the point's been understood, so I'd like to move on to Mike.
Well, Aubrey, this is Tim. I had just one other quick question. I don't mean to dominate, but the one thing that we don't mention in here, and that is the impact that this could have on ICANN's budget. And I don't know if this is the place to say it or not, but I thought I'd just raise that issue that there should be some consideration possibly to, you know, compensate or contribute some fashion to the expenses that might be incurred by ICANN in implementing and managing CCTLD IDNs. And it seems like that concept is kind of missing here. Can you throw that suggestion out?
So in other words, you're suggesting that there's an extra paragraph needed in that second section, a D, as it were.
Right.
On
right.
Page two. Okay. Right. Okay, thanks. Just to see
on that particular point, do we want to ask other people how they feel? I actually feel it's fine, but if Tim, you can draft some language for it, that would be great.
And then that language could be reviewed on the list. What do we have? We have 2 days left, is that it, or what is it? Does anybody recall the date? I can search it. I'll search it while
15.
Other people are talking. The 15th?
I believe it's the 15th, so we do
okay,
have...
Okay, so we may have a week left. Okay, great. Okay, Mike.
Okay, so my issue was essentially the same as Tim's first issue, and I sent a note around to kick off discussion right before our call. It's on the council list, but generally, I mean, I'm just... worried that this language is overly broad and needs to be narrow. I think share the same concern as Tim, but the way this is written now, I mean, to me, it lets U.S. have .US equivalents in Chinese, Arabic, and every other language that anyone in this country speaks. I think that's not the intent of the group.
Okay. So at the moment, we have two possible edits that need to be discussed on the list before this goes out. The one dealing with the script language issue, and the one dealing with the on costs. Thanks. Robin?
Thank you. Yes, I just wanted to echo what Tim and Mike had said, that I'm concerned that we're expanding this, which isn't what we wanted to do. And in particular, I wanted to take issue or at least have some clarification with what we mean when we say relevant language. What makes a language relevant?
Okay, and that's where Mike was suggesting that we might want to use official language, even though that has a very fuzzy definition. An official language, as was defined by the IDNC working group, is if essentially a nation calls a language an official language, it's an official language.
But that then leaves out countries or territories where they don't define an official language.
Well, no, it doesn't need to be officially defined. It's basically the country says, hey, yeah, this is an official language of ours. And if they use as evidence discussions that there's actually official documentation within a language.
Excuse me. Isn't this related to paragraph A, where the proposed string and the delegation request should be non-contentious within the territory? It doesn't make a reference to language, but doesn't come out the same way.
Yep.
It's Alan. I'll point out that the term official has meaning in some countries, and they explicitly, or in some territories, they explicitly do not have official languages, even if they are common languages. It's a politically charged word.
And isn't relevant basically defined in the IDNC report? I mean, not that they do an official definition, but I think what's understood is that relevant script and relevant language is in the context of the IDNC report. It seems to me that that's relatively clear.
Well, yes, Chuck, I think that point is what I think I want to make as we go into this particular discussion is it seems like the best option for us right now is to, at least for this particular response, to be specific on the final report and specific on the fast track. And I can probably add just a few words to make sure that this revision or this adjustment is specifically in response to the IDNC report. That would make it specific to the fast track. But as it is worded right now, it is an adjustment to our statement that is for the overall, that was for the overall PDP. So I take it that at least one particular adjustment would be to make this specific to the fast track and specific to the final report.
Any other comments? So, if there aren't, what I recommend we do is, Edmund, you've been holding the pen on this so long, if we go through and get the suggested language from Tim and Mike and Robin, if she has any recommended changes to the language, go through and try to stabilize the text within the next day or two, and certainly by the end of the weekend, so that then we can do a 24-hour email last call on it so that we can make sure that we have a document that everyone agrees to. And with it needing to be submitted by the 15th, we've got, today being the 7th, we've got until next Friday to submit it. So if we attempt to have the language stabilized by the end of Monday, that gives us Tuesday and Wednesday to basically you know, start and end a 24-hour check to see if the language is okay. Does that procedure and process for doing this sound okay to people? And basically, if we still have an objection to language, then we don't have a response. And on the list, we have to figure out whether we take out a section, add a section, or whatever we have to do to get the response to a point where we do have 24 hours of acceptance. Does that sound reasonable to people?
Aubrey, it's Chuck.
Yes, Chuck.
First of all, in that regard, I would suggest that we need the relevant the proposed change language areas, you know, today, so that there's plenty of time for all of that to happen. Then I have a comment back on to what Tim suggested with regard to budget impact. I wanted to point out that actually in our response to the GAC CCNSO issues paper, we did comment on that issue with regard to the subsidization, and I'm not saying we should use that language necessarily, by the GNSO of the CCNSO. And so I think it's consistent with what Tim is suggesting. Adding in that regard is consistent with what some things we said in the issues in our response to the issues paper. I lost my third point, so I'll stop there. I know what it was. It was to compliment Edmund and thank Edmund for the tremendous amount of time, and others as well, but Edmund particularly took the lead on this, and it was quite a complicated area, and he's done a great job.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. And that was something that I also want to endorse. He's stayed with us through the beginning, through many meetings, through many drafts, and it's been truly an amazing amount of work and really good work. So thanks, and we have some more for you to do for the next week.
Thanks.
So I guess just to make
sure I'm clear, so I would expect some suggested wording on mainly two points. One is what Tim suggests on the budget part, which I would expect some wording from Tim. And also, the other part is the per script, per language part. I'm expecting from Robin, Mike, and Tim, or a combination of the three.
And yes, and other people obviously who have been sitting, listening, and thinking are obviously, you know, asked to chime in if they've got the solution to the wording. But yeah,
that will come in over sort of today, tomorrow, and I guess I'll try to consolidate those with a version to send out on Monday.
That's right.
Okay. Cool.
And I've just sent around some language on the relevant issue that.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you all. Anyone else have a comment before we move on to the next item? Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, the next item on the agenda, let me get the agenda, is GNSO improvement. We've got an update from Rob, who basically will just give us a quick update on the ending of the working group and the submission to the board, just in case anyone hasn't read through all that. Then I've asked Denise to give us the update on the board's actions, and with the minutes having only come out, I guess, earlier today, I'm sure most of us have not had a chance to read them yet. And then then there's review comments on our top-level plan, which Rob may have. I think next steps and decisions is something that this will actually be tabled until our next meeting, but we'll see where we're at. So, Rob.
Thank you, Aubrey. During the last call, I reported to you all that the consensus working group was still in the middle of its deliberations. Since then, the time for deliberation set by the board has ended. The group provided the board with a snapshot report of its efforts. They identified areas of consensus and areas that they discussed where there wasn't consensus. The report also included supplemental statements from all the working group members, and that report has been circulated throughout the GNSO community, So I'll let the report speak for itself, but I'll just note that the group has agreed to make its deliberations publicly available. And the universe of those materials includes 500 emails, MP3 recordings from 7 conference calls, and 6 meeting summary reports. All that documentation has been placed by Glenn on the GNSO webpage, and you can find that information by going to the mailing list archive and clicking on the first link under Task Force Email Archive. And I'll be happy to take any questions.
Okay. And before I open it up to questions, I want to reiterate something that was said by everybody in the working group, and that was how thankful we were to Rob for his efforts and his contributions to that particular working group. I think just about everybody in the group said we owed him at least one drink when next we met. So thank you, Rob. Are there any comments or questions for Rob before going to Denise's update on what the board has done with this report? Okay, hearing none. Denise?
Sure. And the preliminary board notes that are now posted on the website provide a detailed summary of the board discussion of the working group report. And keep in mind that the board meeting was held just a couple of days after the working group proposal was submitted. So neither the staff nor the board had a lot of time to review and analyze the proposal, and that work is ongoing. The working group was roundly acknowledged by the board to have done a significant amount of work in a very short time period and received the thanks of the board. I acknowledge that there were a number of issues involved in the proposal that staff wanted to get a better understanding of the implications and how they would work with the rest of the GNSO improvement recommendations passed by the board. Board discussion touched on a number of issues involved in the working group proposal, including the role of the non-com appointees, the role of the board, how that would be filled, whether at large or individual users would be participating in the GNSO, how the voting structure in the two houses would work, how the seat allocation in the respective houses would work, the board's role in making decisions about seats in each house, the connection to the NOMCOM review and recommendations in that review and work that was ongoing and the need to reconcile any differences in that. Let me see if I'm missing any key issue that was discussed. Other questions were raised regarding how the proposed houses and voting structure would affect the policy development process, issues of structural deadlock and just sort of thinking through how the construct would affect the work of the GNSO going forward was raised, as well as questions on how new constituencies might participate in this new structure. And I think those were the key issues that were discussed at the board level. And then ultimately the board agreed to a resolution that thanked the working group for their report and instructed staff to perform an analysis of the potential consequences and implementation issues that were presented by the proposal and report back to the board. Then I subsequently sent an email to the council, the constituencies, the ALAC, and the GAC, alerting them of this board action and outlining initial issues and questions that, in particular, the staff was investigating. Those included implications regarding the selection of board seats. And an issue there was whether it was appropriate and consistent with ICANN's bylaws to designate or place restrictions or criteria on the board seats selected by the GNSO. We're also looking at the implication of, as I noted, the new voting threshold on policy development and other council operating matters. Considering the implications regarding the future roles of non-com appointees, also the potential effects of various stakeholder representation options proposed by the working group. They're evaluating whether the proposed council structure will be understandable to the outside community and open enough to encourage formation and participation of new constituency groups. And also some consideration of initial transition issues and how they might occur. And as I noted in my email, we invite input on these and any other issues related to the working group's report that is being actively considered by the board. And it would be helpful to receive any input people may have by August 14th. And the next board... Yep. We've been instructed by the board to submit our analysis and report no later than the 21st of August. And the board will be considering this at their next board meeting, which is the 28th of August. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. I'll take a cue on questions now. Anyone wish to be in that cue? No? Okay, so I guess everyone's fine with it. Okay, so then going on, thank you very much, Denise.
Welcome.
Going on then to 7-3, if there are no questions on that update, and I do recommend that people do read the board notes that have been put out. On 7-3 was review comments on the top-level plan. Now, the last time Rob reported, the comments were sort of tangential to the top-level plan and were confusing top-level domain names with top-level plan. Rob, with the comment period having ended, what's the status?
Well, we actually did receive a comment from the registrar community. Relatively brief, and I summarized that in a relatively brief manner on the public forum page. Essentially, the registrar constituency said that it was procedurally premature for the council to consider the GNSO top-level plan in light of the GNSO council restructuring discussions. And the gist of their comment was that that discussion and effort should be postponed until the GNSO council structure had been decided.
Okay, thank you. And that brings up the next item, unless there are questions and comments on that, is we have been tabling this discussion to the next meeting based on essentially at least one constituency, but in this case probably more than one constituency, indicating that it wasn't time yet to make a decision on the top-level plan. I'm assuming that that's still the correct assumption for now and that we should table further discussions of the next steps and the top-level plan until the next meeting, which, if I understand the relationship between our schedule and the board schedule correctly, we will have their decision, or at least we could have their decision on the restructuring. Would anyone like to comment on any of this? Okay. In which case, I think we've covered that agenda item for now. I thank everyone for their report. Next item. Yes,
Anita. Can I just? Sorry, I was trying to get off mute. Sometimes I.
Oh yeah, sorry. Please go ahead.
Sometimes I really can't operate a phone. It's scary. I actually tried to get off mute and then disconnected myself. I just wanted to express the gratitude that everyone saw in the board minutes. I think that this is a really fantastic example of how ICANN in the ideal world is supposed to work. People who care about the organization, who come from different parts of the organization, getting together and coming up with a compromise and a very novel and interesting idea. So I really just want to thank everybody for their work and their collaborative effort. I think it was really fantastic. And I understand why the implementation part of the rest of the report has been put on hold, if you will, pending this other resolution structure. And I appreciate that. But that is good information for us, you know, because I know that many of the board members were very anxious to move forward, as I know many of you are as well. So that's a good data point for us at this August meeting also to encourage the board to make a decision. And just to give you guys a quick snapshot, you know, I think staff was keeping the board on track in that they raised a number of issues around the working groups that they wanted to look into further, because I think the board was, frankly, so excited by the report and by the effort. So hopefully what the board is looking for, I think, is the staff to basically say, yeah, there's some implementation issues here. Let's put them together with the rest of the issues that this implementation group is working on and kind of forward with this complete package. So that at least is my goal to hopefully be achieved at the next meeting. But again, I thank you all very, very much.
Okay, thank you. Any comments or questions? Thank you. Okay. Then moving on to item 8, which is early planning for Cairo meeting. This item is inspired by the fact that the people that are starting to put together the schedules and such have started asking for, okay, so what is it all you're doing? So obviously certain things remain. We've got our open meeting. At the moment, we are planning for the Saturday and Sunday again. Certainly don't have plans for them, exact agendas for them yet. And two questions have come up. One is the joint meetings. As time has gone on, we've basically started having fairly regular joint meetings with GAC. Now it's been at least two or three ICANN meetings where we've had a joint meeting with CCNSL. We've had a joint meeting with ALAC at the next meeting, and of course we've had our board dinners. So one of the things that I wanted to confirm or check with the council is that there's general support for continuing all of these efforts in terms of these joint meetings and putting together schedules and agendas and making plans that sort of say, you know, we are certainly open to continuing these meetings if you all are. In terms of the board meeting, I just wanted to do a quick check and sort of confirm, or if it's the case, have lack of confirmation, that the form of board meeting that we've been having, the dinner with a specific topic focus, with tables that basically aren't always the same people talking to the same people, that is a good formula and that we should continue it at least for the next meeting and perhaps beyond that being an open question. So I just wanted to bring these things up early enough so that if there were issues, if there were things that needed to be changed, if there was whatever, we had time to do it as opposed to it being at the last minute. So that was one issue, and I guess I'll start that one. So is there anyone that would like to be in the queue or comment on any of the stuff I just said?
You can add Chuck in there.
Okay, Chuck. Anyone else?
I mean, I am inclined to take no comment as, yeah, we should have joint meetings and the board meeting is okay. So if that's not what we should take, please speak up. Go ahead, Chuck.
Okay, first of all, with regard to the board dinner meeting, my own personal view is I have found all of those to be very helpful and productive, not only in relationship building, but actually more recently as we've been talking some very hot issues at that table, it's been a great dialogue. So I'm very supportive of that particular thing. In that regard, the board meeting, the board dinner meeting, plus the joint meetings with the other three groups, a critical factor in my mind is to always have very specific and relevant agenda items to be discussed there. And as long as we do that in those meetings, I'm very supportive of that.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wish to comment? And Rita, I especially invite comments from you about the board meeting, and Alan, I invite comments from you about the ALAC, but also any council members that would like to speak up.
Is there any space for questions or only comments?
Oh, questions, comments, yeah, please. Okay, Tony.
Well, actually, it's just a question, since this has come up recurringly in all the discussions on restructuring. I'm just curious, is there any funding for counselors contemplated for the Cairo meeting? I assume the answer is no, but perhaps somebody can confirm that.
Oh, okay. That's a different issue, but I certainly, Denise.
Yes, the draft travel funding guidelines are being finalized and are expected to be posted shortly, and those will cover travel, apply to travel to the Cairo meeting.
So in other words, there may be a possibility for some counselors to apply for Cairo. Am I understanding correctly?
So we'll need to wait until the travel guidelines are finalized and posted, and as soon as that occurs, we'll immediately bring it to your attention, and that'll have your answer.
Okay, thank you.
Going back to the other items, any other questions or comments
on
the joint meeting? Okay, Alan.
I'm not sure what the right word is, whether I'm amazed or confounded or something, how much disinformation there is in my particular case between the ALAC and the GNSO on both sides of what the other group does and who they are and, you know, and what points of view there are. So I think any contact is far better than none. For a single ICANN organization, there are so many little islands which really work completely in isolation of each other. So I encourage whatever we do, whether it's exactly the same form as now or some other form as it evolves, I think it's a good thing.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that one of the things that board members often talk about is the fact that we don't feel like we have enough time actually to talk to people in the community and to be participating. So I am a huge fan of these joint meetings. I think information flow is so important, and it fosters understanding, which can foster, you know, creative ideas and collaboration. So I think that is good at all levels, including the board. So I'm really excited by these joint meetings.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wish to comment at this point? Okay, in which case I will make the assumption that I should start working with the various chairs and such on starting to plan these things. One of the things I'd like to ask you all to do is and this is sort of in keeping with Chuck's particular comment, is that start thinking about the issues that you'd like to discuss in these joint meetings. You know, perhaps I'll put an agenda item on at another meeting where perhaps we can start to collect these items and, you know, in terms of picking the board topic or the topic for the board meeting, I'll certainly think about candidates, but if anyone else has good suggestions over the next couple weeks, please, you know, send it to the list, send it to me, tell the group during the meeting. Okay, on the next item was working group meetings. We're starting to put together various working groups, and what I really just wanted to put out was the notion that some of the Sunday time could be devoted to those working groups. Now, obviously, those are open. All council members could or decide not to attend those, but I just wanted to sort of bring that notion up and see if there's general support for the fact that part of that time could be devoted to any working group who feels that a face-to-face meeting would be good. And the other reason I want to bring it up this early is if working groups are going to do this, obviously they need to decide early so that there's a chance that their working group members will actually be in attendance. Any comments on that idea and whether it's a good idea or not?
Okay. This is Rob.
Rob, yes.
I'd just like to note that by Cairo there may be a number of either committees established based on the top-level plan or potentially some work teams, so there may be an opportunity for those groups to meet in Cairo, although I do recognize your point about planning ahead, and there may not be, given the timing of the formation of those groups, but I just wanted to raise that as a possibility.
Thank you. Actually, that's a very good point. So if, for example, at the next meeting, we are in a position to approve or not, but if we do approve and go forward, it may be good to make an almost instant recommendation whether they would try to meet in Cairo or not. So thanks for bringing that up. That's a very good point. Anyone else wish to comment on any of that?
I'll comment, Chuck.
Yes, Chuck.
I think that the time, we've had some very productive times on weekend meetings, and I think that should be continued. It's a little bit hard this well in advance to be able to predict exactly what the agenda will be, although I'd sure like to think that we would want to spend a lot of time on the GNSO improvement area at that meeting, even if we haven't approved, which I hope is not the case, but even if we haven't approved what we're calling the top-level plan, a name that I think we should change, if we haven't approved that plan then, the implementation plan, then we would need to work on that and get it done at that meeting. If it has been approved, then there's going to be tons of work to be done, and that would be a great time to have some face-to-face work, including with teleconference capabilities for those who can't be there.
Okay, great. So I have added the GNSO improvements item to 1 November as one of the topics for upcoming meetings that we find, and that's always the second page of the action items list that's published on the website. So I've just added that.
And I think another topic that likely will need some time there, we won't know how much until we have more details, but will be the new TLD implementation details.
Mm.
Hopefully by then there will be a draft RFP out and so forth. We don't know for sure, but that's another, I think, a good placeholder. That may not require as much time on the weekend part of it as it does during the regular week meetings, but I think that's a potential topic.
Yeah, that's one where I've been assuming that there would be just a regular open workshop during the week, but it's definitely good to have a placeholder in our agenda if there's anything that's GNSO specific that needs to be talked about. Any other comments on the early planning for Cairo meeting? Anything, whether it's the things I brought up or anything else, like, you know, Tony brought up another issue that people want to sort of make sure that we think about or take care of in planning for Cairo?
Avi, it's Mike.
Yes, Mike.
I expect that the Fast Flux working group will have a report by then as well. It's probably going to need some council time on the weekend.
Yep, that one I already had on the list. Discussion of fast flux based working group report.
Okay, great.
Thank
Sorry.
You. No, great. No, it's good. It's good that something I stuck on there is actually reinforced by someone else. Anything else at this point? Okay, thanks. Moving on to quickly to item 9, which is the action item. Again, we've rarely gone through it. I'm not going to go through it line by line, but it's updated each week, just so people know. Before every meeting, there's a meeting between Chuck and I and the various policy staff members and Glenn as the secretariat, just to make sure that there's a level of coordination and that we have a good view of each other's sort of state of play and state of mind in terms of how we're moving forward. And so we go through this action item list each week, or not each week, before each meeting, you know, editing it so that we all understand where we're at. It's always on the agenda. I don't know if people have looked at it, whether there's any comments. I update it during the meeting. For example, I've updated the 28th August meeting for the Who Is Studies final working group report, etc. So always open to questions on that, corrections on the list. I don't know if there's any issues anyone would like to bring up today on what's in that list. The second page of that list is where I basically, and Chuck and all of us try to sort of start including the items that will be in the agendas for future meetings. Obviously, the closest meeting always has greater detail than the further away meetings. But please, you know, make it a point to take a look at that before the meeting. So if you have any comments on that, you know, you can either put them on the list or bring them up during this part of the meeting. So any questions on any of that at this point?
Just a comment, Aubrey, on the topics for upcoming meetings. I think one of the things that we need to have on at least one of those meetings is start talking about the ESSAC issue with regard to who is. Totally separate from all the policy issues, but from the who is protocol issue and that whole issue going forward. That's something we haven't spent time on, and I think that should be on there somewhere. I think we can fit it in wherever, but that should be.
Okay, I've stuck it under 25 September from now, and we can play with it. One thing that I did add, and this is based on, and we didn't have time for it today, certainly, but based on Philip's email to the list, I put on next meeting discussion of RAA amendments, and I don't know whether that's a topic we want to get into very deeply, but certainly I've got that as a potential item for the next agenda. And,
one more thing on the who is topic, whether this ties into what the FSAC has sent us or not, we can decide that, and it might tie in. And that is the whole idea of who is related to the IDN issue, an issue that I think is a very critical one going forward, and one that we haven't spent really any time on, but need to.
Right, because I don't believe who is, as it currently exists, necessarily supports IDN all that well.
Right.
Okay. So I do ask people, you know, pay attention to the topics for upcoming meetings. Make sure topics that you think we need to be discussing show up there, and if they don't show up there, bring them up on the list or in the meeting. One thing I wanted to bring up that's on there next week, Patrick Sherry asked to have some time in the meeting to basically open up a discussion with us related to the ALAC review. So I have put that on the agenda for next week, and I understanding the chair of the ALAC review group will also be participating in that conversation.
And Aubrey, I believe that they're going to send us some questions or topics in advance to think about so that we see those before the meeting. Is that right?
I believe that's the intent.
So I've gone through the action items. I've brought up the any other business, which was the RAA amendment and the ALAC review discretion for the next meeting. Does anybody have anything else before we call this meeting closed? Hearing no other business, I thank you all for attending and talk to you next time and talk to you on the list. And especially over the next days, please pay attention to resolving the IDNC response comments, as that is a critical for next Friday. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you.